Welcome into the Washed Up Walk-Ons podcast, the most entertaining Iowa podcast out there. The only one with a G-bone, by the way. Nobody has Grant, we do. We have a great conversation tonight around a variety of college football topics. We will briefly talk about Northwestern and why Iowa should get back on the right track this weekend. We also discuss super conferences and why Iowa still has plenty to play for this year. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome into Taglines, question mark? No, the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Just one Washed Up Walk-On and one. Well, I guess you probably walked on to Rhodes College for lacrosse, didn't you?
There's no scholarships in D3, so I guess everyone has a... I had a roster spot if I wanted it.
You were there.
No one was on scholarship. We had like walk-ons who showed up and were like, hey, can I try out and be on the team? Sure. But it's just, there's no scholarship. It's everyone's kind of a walk on. I don't know. I mean, there's nothing to walk on to, I guess.
There's the narrative that walk-ons are dying. We've talked about it several times on the show with the whole new roster limits. That's a bunk narrative. Walk-ons live on, and it's in D3, baby.
Oh yeah.
And we're a JMU adjacent podcast. We are I feel like through you, or maybe even becoming a Western Kentucky adjacent podcast.
See those new uniforms? They got another one.
They got new unis.
I feel like they make a big red cinematic uniform reveal like once a week now.
Could you bring up the most recent new uniforms? I didn't see those.
They're nice. Oh yeah.
We're a Iowa Western adjacent podcast. Big fans of the Reavers.
Aren't they? We got to support the Northwestern. Iowa as well in NAI.
Hold on. It's Northwestern week, buddy. What are we talking about?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like I have some allegiances to Northwestern. I don't know. Northwestern tennis, at least.
Northwestern Iowa or Northwestern Wildcats? Okay. All right.
Wait, hold on. I'm confused. What are we not talking NAIA football anymore?
Well, we're playing the Wildcats in a few days. I mean, you said Northwestern. I thought, are we all of a sudden supporters of Evanston and what they're doing over there at the makeshift lacrosse stadium?
No, I'm a neutral. I don't beef with Northwestern even, if I'm being totally honest. But
like, I respect Northwestern as a program. Sure, yeah.
But I don't know. I was talking about the school in Northern Iowa, almost Minnesota.
The ones that are like, what are they? I think they're black and red too, actually. Speaking of these beautiful Western Kentucky uniforms, if you haven't, if you're not watching the YouTube, click the bell, ring the notifications, fucking subscribe, do all the things. Oh my God. Okay, but tell me why he looks like a penis though, Grant.
Whoa, he looks like a great mascot. You're kind of, Grant, you're dirty brain. That was completely uncalled for. Grant. This is a professional show. This is a children's show.
Yeah, family show.
It's a family show. That's going to get you an SEC filing right there.
100%. Western Kentucky, a family program.
Program, yes. Also, like, look at this. They got the seal of the university up in the helmet right there.
Now, okay, so how could Iowa execute on something like this? Okay, we go all black, right?
Yeah, and it would just say Hawks or Iowa script and then have
it. It would be Iowa script for sure.
Yeah.
And then within the Iowa script, we put – what do we put in there?
They have the seal of the university. We have a seal.
We could put the seal in there, or you know, we could put one of the old, you know, the old Hawkeye symbols, logos, right? Like charging Herky or whatever they call them.
I do like if I'm just being honest, I do like our Tiger Hawk on the helmet.
The Tiger Hawk's clean, man.
There's things I would, if I could change things in the Iowa football program, I don't think helmet is number one on my list.
That wouldn't be it, huh?
I think the black helmet with the Tiger Hawk on it's a good look. I'm going to be honest.
I agree.
Like the Packers don't go away from that logo on the side of the helmet. They'll change the color a little bit. Like the Steelers don't really go away from it. They change it sometimes. They'll add like numbers instead. But sometimes you got just like a good look. Just don't get too creative with it. Right?
It's a classic look, and I think Kirk is a big part of that staying classic. You know, when Kirk finally does retire, which a lot of people at this point every year. You know, there's a bandwagon that starts rolling down the tracks and plenty of people get on it.
Gonna get me teared up just talking about it.
Yeah, I it's a tough subject. Actually, you know what? I actually thought about when KF does hang it up the other day. Like, and I was trying to imagine, like, am I gonna be emotional about that? Like what? I wouldn't say I was the closest individually with Kirk. There were plenty of players on the team that had more one-on-one conversations with KF than I did over the course of their career.
Sure.
But he obviously means a lot to me. Means a lot to that program.
Okay.
You know, we talk about our support for him and the Hawks all the time on here. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what? He's going to get up there for his retirement speech or whatever, you know, his last time at the podium. And he's going to be emotional, Kirk. There's going to be KF tears. You know, that kind of like scrunchy face that he gets when he...
Yeah, sure.
And when I see that, I'm obviously going to cry.
Okay.
You know, there's going to be a lot of people that cry.
Yeah. Well, when they do... I'm telling you, I'll see the news on Twitter, or I'll see like rumblings of it first.
Yeah.
A bunch of accounts are going to be like, oh, shoot, is this real? Can't be real. What? Crazy news for, I don't know, like Tuesday afternoon.
Yep.
Something like that. And then I'll see he's retired. I'll be like, dang, won't process it until I see either, like you said, press conference, or they're going to release like a little video highlight reel going through all the years.
Yeah,
see, like Kirk shaking Hayden's hand at the original press conference to now.
Oh,
like dang, that was what a journey. It's like watching Interstellar. Wow,
Interstellar, good pull, great movie. You're right. It will be emotional, and you know, by the way, that the creative team over at Iowa Football, who like on the low, totally aside from the program and the team this year and their record and the actual football team, the creative side of Iowa football is chef's kiss. And I don't know if you follow them on Twitter. Obviously they put out the
I do follow the Iowa football.
No. Yes. They call them like the flight crew or something. They have their flight own Twitter crew? Account. Yeah. They have their own Twitter account, the creative team.
Maybe I'm missing something. All right.
Flight crew might not be the exact term, but they've got their own dude. They are crushing. I don't know who's over there in the department, but they are
the flight creative. Flight creative 319 on Twitter. Give them a follow.
They murder their highlight videos, which obviously go out on the Hawkeye football channel or, socials are just crush all the time. Anyway, it's Grant and I tonight. Kevin, complete no show, Grant. He could be dead for all we know.
I mean, he just texted us, but so I think he did. I think he's doing health wise. If that was the concern, I think he's fine.
Okay. So he's not dead. Kevin's not dead. That's a live update. Thank you, Grant.
Breaking news.
Now,
can't confirm, not dead.
Here's something.
Okay.
Is Kevin, does he have other priorities?
I think.
Are we
priorities? Priorities, or he is well compensated by different obligation.
Okay. There may be several ways to put that. It feels like maybe you and I are slipping down the list of things he cares about.
I'm saying that here at the walk-ons, I don't think we're cutting him a big enough check.
Well, that is
to not show up to work.
That is,
I think that's the number one conflict.
That's a solid assessment of it. That's a solid assessment. It'll be Grant and I tonight. We're going to maybe merge some of what you would hear on taglines if you're a Patreon subscriber. By the way, if you are not and you want to be, oh, look at this. That guy right there. QR code right at the top of the screen. At any point during this YouTube video, you can scan that bad boy and go find everything that we're about over on patreon.com/washupwalkons. Best time to join is during the fall, late fall slash early winter season. We're going to have a massive Christmas drop coming very soon so that y'all can purchase and your Christmas presents will be, you can do some early shopping for the Hawkeye fan in your life and you'll get discounts on those. And if you're at the top tier, you might just be getting a little freebie item or two. It's the Christmas season, Grant, and you never know what's going to show up in Santa's gift bag.
I do love this time of year.
It's right now, dude, I love the holidays.
It's getting fantastic. That weather's dropping a little bit right now here in Colorado too.
Yeah.
And it's just the time. Like I'm just ready to sit down on my couch, eat and consume all the football and soon to be college basketball that I can handle.
It's clearly the best 3 months consecutive in the year, right?
Well, October is certainly the best month.
October, November, December are the best three, though.
I mean, March is pretty good.
Okay, but you can't just take a single one. You have to take a consecutive 3 month span.
Well,
if we're putting those parameters on it, is October through December the best 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, because you're getting October. Like, if you, yeah, it probably is. Just because
would you write it back to September, October, November?
No, it's just that you get like we're in sport mode, right?
Yeah,
like we got the sport equinox coming up. I think next week,
World Series.
Is the equinox?
What does that mean?
Or it might be, it's late next week or early next week. It's just all four of the major sports on at once.
So you have the finals of the MLB.
It's World Series.
World Series.
Yeah, it's Monday next week.
You've got basketball and hockey that just started their seasons.
Yep.
And you have football sort of right in the middle of it.
Yeah. So Monday, you'll have Monday Night Football. You'll have the NFL right there. NBA will be going on, NHL will be going on, and then the World Series will be going on at the same time.
Any opinion? But we can take a couple of detours and tangents on this podcast, since I don't know if we'll make it an hour. I know that you took, for anybody that doesn't know, on Taglines, Grant takes notes. He brings notes to our show where we do a whole lot of college football talk. Oh, and we also power rank the Big Ten. If you want to grab those for in a few minutes, 20 minutes from now. Maybe we are, you know, just
well, hold on. We just talked about Patreon and we're skipping Patreon now?
Well, I don't know if the Taglines is going to come out this week, and that's for a very good personal reason that I was unable.
I accept the result of that.
Are you a big baseball guy? Do you care about this World Series?
I like postseason baseball a lot. I think it's fun.
Better than regular season baseball.
Yeah, I think it's a little similar bit to more the NBA. Interesting than June baseball. And also, I don't know, it's also nice where baseball is a good sport too, because it's just on. Like you don't gotta.
Yeah,
you can. There are diehards out there, right, who watch every single game, live and die with every pitch.
Sure,
I'm not one of them. Like I'm not going to pretend to be, but it's just like you can tune in. You know the stars, and like it's enjoyable. I like it.
You can almost
this World Series is. Got a lot of star power in it, which is very nice as well.
So Otani is on the Dodgers, right?
He's on the Dodgers.
And then you got Judge on the Yankees.
Judge is on the Yankees.
And so those are like two, like, are those the two best players in baseball?
Otani, you can make the argument, is just the best player ever right now.
Of all time?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so. I mean, if I had
dude, what about Babe? What about Babe Ruth, dude, hitting off of plumbers and carpenters?
The issue was Babe Ruth also wasn't the best pitcher in the league at the same time as well.
But didn't Otani not pitch this year?
He didn't pitch this year, which I think to the Dodgers, who I want to lose, I guess, division rival. But how funny would it be if they just rolled out? He hasn't pitched all season. First game, he's pitching.
So, hey, by the way, Otani's part of the bullpen now.
Yeah. I believe he had a UCL injury last year, so they're trying to save him, savor his career a little bit.
Some would say Otani is the Travis Hunter of Major League Baseball.
Jeez, like I think the best comparison I heard was that it would be if Patrick Mahomes also won Defensive Player of the Year.
Jesus Christ,
it was the best comparison for his season last year, like how well he was doing.
I'm of the opinion it's way different in basketball because everybody plays offense defense, of course. Mm-hmm. But I'm of the opinion that in a sport like baseball or football, if you're going to do it at the top, it's a little bit like the Ben Keeter conversation that we've had on here. You know, he was doing football and wrestling for his freshman year.
Uh-huh.
We talked to Brody Brecht, and he was talking about how he was, you know, getting home from baseball games at like 1 a.m. and then having to wake up at 5. I don't believe that at the top level you can do it. I just don't think you can do it. I don't think your body will hold up. Mm-hmm. Professional sports are already jammed to the ultimate extreme of taking athletes and players to their max. And that's with them just playing one position.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to do it in two positions, it's just never getting a rest. Right, like it's tough.
Yeah,
but yeah, a lot of people hate the Yankees and the Dodgers.
There are two very hated teams. Like I saw a lot of graphs of like who, you know, they do, or it's like who's rooting for who in the nation. You know, they color in the states and the counties, and it was just a big missile pointed at the United States as a result. But it's I don't know. It's conflicting. I don't really like the Yankees, but I really don't like the Dodgers. I really don't like them.
So. And is that just because they play the Rockies?
They're in the Rockies division. Yeah. Okay. So it's just, it's, you know, you don't really want your division rival to succeed at all, especially when your team is not doing very well.
Of course.
And, you know, it's nice right now too, because the Dodgers' only recent championship that they can cling on to is the COVID year. Asterisk. Kind of fake. So there is that. But then if they get this one, unfortunately, it will be difficult to argue the legitimacy of the championship.
Sure.
I see Doug Stanhope, the comedian. He does have a good quote where he says that rooting for the Yankees though is like going to the casino and rooting for the house.
Ooh.
So it's very difficult. And I feel like it's the same with the Dodgers too now. You know, just cuz they both spend a ton of money.
I saw a great tweet or meme that said this World Series is going to push Cowboys fans to the brink. I mean, it is just going to create chaos amongst Dallas Cowboy fans.
Hey, it's okay. You know, the Warriors just started their season two and the Lakers, so they got it all covered.
Dude, I mean.
Boy, can you imagine? They're going through a lot. Alabama is not having their usual success.
Oh, that is tough, man.
It's a tough year out there.
Yeah.
bring up what you were bringing up, though.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that one of the funny graphs you saw was a missile pointed at, and then that brought to mind a Sickos committee tweet that I saw today that said, sure, your college rivalry is intense, but Toledo has a rocket pointed at Bowling Green.
See, this is why I love college football for this reason. You don't get this in the NFL. You don't see outside of the Giants facility, there isn't a missile pointed at the Eagles facility.
No.
You only get this in college football.
This is also primary example number one, exhibit A on why they cannot fuck with the MAC.
Don't touch it. And they want to take, I believe they want to take away Toledo. It was one of the two targeted schools.
And maybe rightfully so. I think Toledo has, you know, maybe there's a lot of good, there's too much good in the MAC. We can't.
It's almost its own football league. Like it's like, okay, there's 1AA or FBS, then there's the MAC, and then there's FCS. Like you just can't touch it.
The MAC is its own thing.
Yeah,
They just happen to play some of the teams from FBS. Well, and FCS.
No, that's a great rivalry though. This weekend, Bowling Green Toledo. Tune in for it.
Maybe you'll have to add that to our awards winners later on.
I have a pick for that game in awards winners. So
do you?
I do.
All right. Well, I'm gonna have to when we scroll through the DraftKings later in this episode.
We should note for next year to watch the walk-ons MAC game of the week.
Oh, I'm all about that. I'm all about that. I have another thing to share, and this is something that we talked about right before we got on air. I thought it would be good for this.
We do a computer enhance.
I don't know how to do that. I'm old.
Okay, maybe I'll pull it up separately.
Okay, you bring up Pat Anger's tweet. For now, I'll read it, and you can bring it up in the background. Pat tweeted this yesterday about 4:22 in the afternoon. Took me a lot of years to realize it's a lot more impactful to lift someone up than it is to push them away. Think about the positive impact it would have on QB1 if 70K plus Iowa fans showered him with love and appreciation as soon as he stepped on the field Saturday. And that is beautiful. That is great producing by you to actually bring it to a place where everybody can read it on our YouTube screen.
Tip of the cap.
Raise for Grant. We'll talk about pay bump. What do you think about this? You retweeted it.
I did retweet it because I think it's – I remember sitting after the – I was talking with my dad about the game on Sunday. And I was like, is it – it's kind of weird. You know, as much as I – everyone, it feels like, hates Cade right now. I do want him to succeed. Like, because it would benefit me as well if he was playing, if he just went out there and had like a 6-touchdown game. Like, I just, like, when you go to the game, again, and this was the thing with Petras too. I remember the guy just gets, was just showered in booze.
Showered.
Right? It's like, well, I mean, we all want him to do well, don't we? Like,
so, I mean, so this brings me
it's
to.
It's just so different than, if like during when they announced the starting lineup, like he hasn't even done anything yet in the game. I don't know. It gets different. Like, okay, bad pass or like something in the actual game happens, booing or whatever, right? But like, I don't know, in the starting lineup, like, yeah, we can cheer on the team. I don't think that's that crazy of a thing.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years. But it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
This is one of those things that when we talk about and have talked about, Grant, me not being able to empathize or relate to the common fan of football or just sports in general, this is one of those things that drives me nuts, because the logic, and I'm just a logic being at heart, the logic and thought process behind the psychology behind booing your own team, staff, players, etc., none of it makes sense. The only thing that makes sense, the only reason that people do it, is so that they can feel better for themselves. It is an entirely selfish thing. And maybe on a secondary level, you're fucking pissed drunk and you get to like commiserate with some other fans that aren't happy in the stadium, right? But yeah, Still self-serving for that group of fans. It doesn't help the players to boo them, because if you know they're doing bad, or the coaches for that matter, if you know they're doing bad, or that they made a bad play, or they made a bad decision, they know that they made a bad play or a bad decision, right? They're aware.
Yeah.
Now, here's, I don't hate booing the refs, because the refs are a third party part of the game, where if you boo the refs on a bad call for your team, now the players or the coaches kind of feel like you're on their side.
Well, how do you feel about trashing the field as well as booing the refs?
All right, well, is this a reference to the Texas-Georgia game from this past weekend?
Oh, I mean, there's fields get trashed occasionally. There was a Iowa's field got trashed last year.
There was a beer can thrown onto the field somewhat recently, and like one of the players picked it up and drank it, I think.
Oh, I don't remember what specifically that was, but I remember, I mean, during the Cooper DeJean fiasco.
Was the field trashed on that?
The field was getting trashed. Oh, it was getting, yeah.
That deserves it. I love that against the refs. But if you'd boo the players going into halftime, so a common one that doesn't deserve it at all is like the Hawks get the ball back with like 48 seconds left. They're on the 17-yard line. They're 83 yards away from the end zone. Hey, we haven't thrown a deep ball since 92. Right. And which is not true because of the Tavon Smith touchdown that comes to mind in the Big Ten Championship 2015. Anyway, we haven't thrown a deep ball in a decade, and they want Iowa to try and drive 48 seconds with our roster and offensive capability, 2-minute drive. And we just kneel it out, or we run a couple plays and they go to halftime. Everybody's pissed. They boo. Boo. Like
that might be the most frequent boo going on.
Psychology of it is on a toddler level. I have a toddler right now who doesn't get what she wants a lot of the time. And currently we're in the stage of me do it. I do it. I do it. Mm-hmm. So if she doesn't get to do something that, like, you know, like we're, I don't know, I'm going out, I'm taking the trash. It could be anything. It could be dumb stuff. You know, I'm picking something up off the floor. I'm going to grab something out of the other room. Me do it. If she doesn't get to do it, she whines. She cries. That is what the fans look like and appear like to me when they boo their own.
I get that. Yeah. And I do, like I said, I do agree. Like, I'm not a huge fan of like during the starting lineup, just booing a guy.
That's horrible
out there. But I also, I don't know. I think I don't know. I think fans have the right and the ability to voice their opinion if they don't.
It's a free world.
If they don't like the product, I think there's better ways to do it than booing. Yeah. Personally, but I don't know. I don't like.
Don't come.
If someone boos a bad pass or something, I don't necessarily. I don't walk away from the game. Like, how could we?
You know? Here's a good way to put it.
I think it's very moment specific booing.
If you're a person that boos and bitches during a college football game in the stands, and I'm sitting next to you, and like by the end of the game, I'm like, God, that guy is insufferable. Like, it's, you know, the game day experience is ruined because of people like that. It tells me a lot about who you are as a person, because there's a ton of people who can just be quiet and just sit in their, you know, maybe their dislike of a certain play or even the outcome of a game. It's pretty childish. Underneath this tweet by Pat Anger telling everybody, hey, what if we just showered him with love and appreciation as soon as he stepped on the field? Brady Ross, B. Ross Buford, friend of the program, former great Iowa football fullback, says, I don't know, Pat. Maybe all of us grown adults should boo our own players and pout like four-year-olds. This seems far more sensible. Seems like maybe Brady agrees with me.
Yeah. Like I said, I do. It would, as much as I know everyone is frustrated with Cade right now, and as am I, right? It would benefit us for him to play better. And I don't know if booing him senselessly is the best way, is creating the best environment, especially at home, for us to do that. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, and I'm not saying showering him with love is going to make him play any better.
Just not the action of not booing.
I don't subscribe to that. But I know that booing him isn't going to make it any better. You know? Yeah. So,
is that in the office where I think some guy's doing a speech or whatever, and he calls him out. He's like, "Oh, you were the guy." It's the play. Michael's at a play, and he boos one of the guys at the end when they're bowing, taking the love from the audience. He's like, "Hey, you were booing me, weren't you out there?" He's like, "No, it was me." He's like, "How'd it feel if I went and booed you at your job? Just followed you around, boo,
yeah,
boo." when you're selling paper. It's kind of different, but booing is a big story in football right now, booing was very controversial in the NFL this weekend because obviously with Deshaun Watson. And this is totally different than Cade because, to my knowledge, Cade hasn't done anything. He doesn't have a questionable off-the-field character such as Deshaun has. But
sure.
So people, obviously the Browns, bad season, right?
Tough, yeah.
It's not going well.
No.
Deshaun not playing well, right? Deshaun, questionable off-field character.
To say the least, probably at this point.
The dude tears his Achilles on Sunday.
Yeah, he did.
Gets showered in cheers.
They cheered hard at the stadium?
When he tore his Achilles.
Oh, yes. My.
So it...
That's actually disgusting. That is disgusting.
That became a little controversial. Like, I saw dudes like, you can go look it up, like Jameis Winston had a lot to say about it.
I saw Jameis's interview. Yeah.
Myles Garrett had like a really strange quote where he put like, "Hey, for the majority of his NFL career, he's been a pretty decent guy." And it's like, what's the other part? Miles? What do you mean majority?
Kind of the whole career matters, but you know,
anyways, like that was a big topic, was like, should they be, should they be booing Deshaun, and like also should they be cheering for injuries?
Yeah, it was
a big topic of football this week.
You should certainly never cheer for injuries. I don't care if someone's killed somebody. Cheering for somebody's I feel like that is, and I don't really believe in karma, but if it is real, that's like maybe behavior number one on how to get on the bad side of karma is cheer openly in public when someone like completely derails their career because of a season ending injury. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah. And I think the more debate came from like, okay, Deshaun's not like, again, questionable off the field character was more where the debate was stirring from. Right.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't know if it was like, I don't think if Myles Garrett tore his Achilles, it would have been the same.
No, it was obviously because he's got like 20 assault charges and 20 settlements with these like masseuses around the Houston area. But even then, like I think you and I are on the same side here. You just probably don't do that.
Yeah, I've never had a quarterback on my team be in the predicament that Deshaun was in. So I'm not sure. And I know it's been very frustrating because they're also paying him a ton of money and that doesn't go away either with him getting injured. But
just paying him a ton of money. They paid him like all of the money.
I don't know. I do think Browns fans have the right to be very frustrated with what's going on in their franchise right now.
Yeah. You don't think you think Bo Nix can stay away from those kind of allegations off the field and be a real model citizen?
God, I hope so. I mean, to my knowledge, Bo's biggest crime right now is when he threw that pass behind his head without looking at Auburn. But otherwise, I don't know what it is. I'm happy with Bo at the Broncos right now.
What's the Broncos record?
We're at 4-3 right now.
Okay, so you're right where the Iowa Hawkeyes are.
Yeah, and hey, with that AFC is much more open than the Big Ten right now. So like, it's not impossible for us to squeak in there.
Well, in the NFL, you just have to be relevant within a 4-team division, not an 18-team conference. So,
yes and no. Well, this is a kind of thing I wanted to do. Can we? Do you want to do a graceful transition here to a larger conference question that I wanted to ask you?
I would love that.
The big criticism of the Big Ten and the SEC last year, we can unshare this, I think.
Sure.
But big criticism of the SEC and the Big Ten last year was divisions need to die. Sure. And I think for the most part, that was true with like, you had an issue where, okay, Ohio State and Michigan, clearly the two best teams in the Big Ten playing each other and only one of them can get to the Big Ten championship, right? It was an issue for a little bit in the SEC, but not as big of a deal, right? I don't think people were too as upset with who was coming out of the West or the East, really. I think, though, now that both those conferences have expanded so much, I think divisions
– You need divisions.
I think you need divisions.
Like, and you need like – you almost need four of them.
Yeah, I think you need – because I look at – I think it's a bigger issue in the SEC right now than it's the Big Ten. But even in the Big Ten right now.
Really? You think it's a bigger issue in the SEC?
Well, I look at the SEC and it's like, okay, gun to my head, do I think A&M is the best team in the SEC? No. But the way their schedule works out, and they're not required to play any specific team.
Right.
Except I think Texas now.
Well, but you know, you got the SEC championship.
But like, I don't even know if they could easily get there without really any trouble. And then I don't know if they're the best. Like, if you had to ask me, are they even the top three best teams? I'd probably say no.
So is the proposition to create like a 4-team division kind of thing?
I think that college football just basically needs to, if you're going to pretend to be the NFL, just go do it. Because I don't think that, I think it's going to eventually prove out, it's going to eventually become evident that the halfway model doesn't work.
I would agree.
Like, and you either need to be, I think college football either needs to be the BCS or just, if you're going to be the NFL, just go be the NFL.
Yeah. I'm with you. The hard part about these super conferences is great. Now you've got, you know, you've collectively combined to, oh, we have all this money. We have all this power with getting teams on TV. Well, a huge part of not just, and it's better that this would really be an issue if we were still at the 4-team playoff.
Well, it would. And the 4-team playoff was doomed from the start because you had 5 power conferences. But
right now, dumb idea.
I do want to bring up Big Ten. Also, it is an issue because you have right now, I think when they did the schedules, they were banking off Indiana still being bad. But you have a situation where Oregon can go undefeated, Penn State can go undefeated, and Indiana can go undefeated, and none of them play each other.
Yeah. Well, and here's what I was kind of going to get there too, was
where that would have never that doesn't happen with divisions.
Right. And so you go into these tiebreakers, right? Which inevitably some team is going to get screwed over.
Yeah. If you like, you can't tell an undefeated team, how did you not? Like, what do you, all we did was win and we're punished.
Right. And especially when I think with some of the tiebreakers, it could come down to something that they can't even control. Like, it could be like opponents, like your wins.
Yeah.
Best, you know, your wins records versus common opponents or something.
And I'm not saying it's this year, but like, let's say it happens in 4 years from now. It's like, dude, how are we supposed to know how good, I don't know, Minnesota was going to be in 2020. 8 when it was 2024.
Right.
Like when we made the schedule. Like, what did you want us to do?
Like, should we just try and schedule the current best teams 1 through whatever and just leave? Yeah.
I didn't know Minnesota's strength of schedule in October of 24.
3 years ago, right?
Yeah. What did you want me to do about it?
And that becomes a problem, because then if schools start to do that, they're like, hey, sorry, we can't schedule you, Purdue. You're not good enough for our, like, because we're trying to make, then Purdue ends up with nobody. They're going to have to play. Purdue's just going to have to play the entire MAC because no one's going to want to put them on the schedule. So, But the other issue here, Grant, is when conferences were created, right? Mm-hmm. And let's go all the way back to like, maybe even like the 1930s, sure. Niall Kinnick. I think they were in a conference with like 5 other teams, right? There's this inherent characteristic of what a sports conference is that requires you to stay in a certain structure amount of teams, because to some extent, even if you have, you know, some teams are going to always be, hey, they're just at the bottom of the conference every year. You're going to get to a point here with 18 teams in a conference where there are some schools in this conference that for the rest of eternity, like until Earth gets hit by some, crazy space shower of asteroids and this whole thing comes crashing down, Maryland, Purdue, like these teams in Northwestern, maybe even Illinois, like some of these teams who can reach up into like the, oh, we're fifth or fourth in the conference, they can never expect. I would even maybe throw Iowa. I was like in that second tier of like, hey, every 10 years at this point, you might be able to expect getting into a conference championship. Because
I think divisions changes that element though.
It absolutely does, because it automatically brings you to the top where if you take an 18 team conference, screw it. Go get I don't know who you bring in. Bring in Toledo and North Dakota State. No, don't touch the MAC. I'm kidding.
I would love to add North after watching the Dakota Maker this past weekend. South Dakota State and North Dakota State.
Unbelievable.
Phenomenal game. But I would, if they wanted Big Ten ads, I would not even think about it. For football, at least.
Go into a 20-team conference of 5-team divisions, 4 divisions. And now you play the teams within your division, just like the West and the East, every year. But now because they're smaller conferences, right? In the old model, 14 teams, you had a 7-team side where you're going to play your 6 every year. It only leaves 3 from the other side. Well, in an 18-team conference with 4 subdivisions of 5 teams, sure, you're going to play 4 teams the same every year. Mm-hmm. But you now have 5 other games amongst a group of 15 other teams where you're going to get a lot of variation there. You're going to be able to work around and play all of the like, it's going to be fine. You're going to get what you want. And then, hey, now a Purdue can maybe rise to the top once because, you know, their division schedule, they just happen to
Stars align.
The stars align. They clip Ohio State 1 year or whoever's the top of their conference normally. And now they get to play in. Here's the issue, though. If you have 4 divisions, you've now created a playoff within your own conference to get to the championship game.
Right. I don't know how it would work out, but I'm saying I think we need – I think if it's – when you're expanding conferences, right?
Yeah.
I think you need some kind of division in it.
Yeah.
Because it's the same as the – like look at AFC-NFC. Like it's very similar. You got 32 total teams, put it down the middle, 16. Like there's 18 teams in the Big Ten right now? Similar number. Like they have to have divisions.
You're right.
Too big. Or as opposed to like, I don't know if it was the back in like the Big Eight.
Right. The Big Eight was great.
You probably don't really need divisions for that. Like you're playing enough teams as many times. But and that's not just like, oh, I want the West back so Iowa can be the Big Ten championship every year. Like I think it's just I don't think there should ever be a scenario where 3 teams can potentially be undefeated.
I agree.
And one of them is going to be disappointed because they didn't get invited to the game.
They got to find a way out of that. I'm going to transition us here to the one maybe relevant thing that people might come to this podcast and expect in before we get to our betting picks for the weekend, which are probably the most relevant thing.
Is Northwestern.
It is Northwestern, but it is not just Northwestern. It's the rest of this schedule, Grant, this regular season. It is Northwestern. It's Wisconsin. It's Maryland.
Yeah.
It's Nebraska. Who else we got in there? And
UCLA.
And UCLA. We go to UCLA. Yes. Mm-hmm. What is left for this team? Well, I was hoping to ask Kevin these questions and to get his opinion on it because people don't like to hear me talk, but hey, you got me. So here we are. Is this season now wasted? 4-3, like we just said, it's not a divisional thing. Like, you know, we're going to have to deal with the fact that we are not playing these next five weekends for a conference championship. We're not playing for a playoff berth, even the expanded 12-team format. What did we play for, right? What could this team possibly be playing for? How could we make this worth it? And David Eicholt and I talked a little bit about this in the KF Press Review show today, and I said that I would mention it tonight, but essentially you have to look at it this way. As a fan, sure, and this might be a little harder to accept, the excitement and end-all be-all from the fandom side is gone, right? It is gone. There isn't going to be what you wanted to play for. There's nothing left for you as the fan to feel like now this season has a whole lot of meaning. But if you care about this team from a deeper level, like you care about the guys on it, you care about the development of the young guys into what they will potentially become next year and the years beyond, and the general state of the program just at large, then this the rest of this schedule matters, and it matters a lot. And I'll say it matters for three main reasons. One, because when you're faced with adversity and you're a 4-3 ball club that knows you're not playing for any championship game, right, or a chance in the playoff, you are now faced with the reality. These guys walked into the complex this week, 100-plus guys, 40-plus staff, knowing that the goal they set out for, they're not going to get it. But you don't just quit. And I know this is going to get very cliche, very like, oh, foo-foo, like we're going, you know, remember the Titans speech here. But it's real. The fortitude you have to come back with to fight your ass off, go to practice, hit guys, tackle guys in the cold as the weather starts to get worse, possibly play in the snow down the stretch here, fight for the bowl, fight for the Heroes Trophy against Nebraska. There are things that are going to take maximum effort from this team, the staff, the players, where these guys still have to show up and give a ton of effort. And doing so, just the act of doing so, being a guy, a team, a position group that shows up and continues to play hard is really what builds somebody as a human. You're doing something you don't necessarily want to do for a goal that you know you're not going to achieve. That builds character. Okay, so that is the response, the mental response. And KF mentioned it. Somebody asked about now knowing you're not going to be in those games, those situations. How does this team respond? He said, we'll see, because that is a big question. So a lot about the culture of this program will be answered in these five games. Number two, there's a group of seniors on this team, some of them who have been there for 6 years. So it's been a while they've been in this program. They just spent over half a decade giving their life to the black and gold, giving you guys entertainment, becoming young people, a lot of the things I just talked about, forging themselves as young humans that are about to go off into the real world and be productive members of society. Their entire life and identity for 5 or 6 years has been Iowa football. It's been wearing the Tiger Hawk. And they get five more opportunities, and assuming they do well in two of those, a sixth opportunity to play the game they love for the last few times in their life. And they don't even know the significance of that right now. But they get a chance to keep playing football, which comes to an end for everybody. And that is, you know, what these guys have given us is incredible. A lot of these guys have given us, you know, think about a guy like Jay Higgins or Sebastian Castro. I'll just like go down the list. So that's reason number two. These seniors are playing for a lot. And number three, I mentioned it, the development of this program, the guys who are up next, I got next, right? Jan Jensen was talking about how their mantra this season is we got next. There's guys on this team that got next. And in fact, because of this whole COVID thing and, you know, super seniors staying around for, to keep playing. There's a lot of people who got next on, and there's a lot of questions that need to be answered for this team going into next season and beyond. And there is no better experience than these five games right now. And I know that feels like a conceding sort of thought, right? But I'm telling you, the bowl prep, the week in, week out game prep they're going to get for the next month and a half, plus the bowl prep, assuming we get to one, it's invaluable. And if you want the Iowa Hawkeyes to be good in 2025, 2026, there's a lot of important stuff going on right now. And so there's a lot to play for.
Yep.
And those are my thoughts on sort of the mentality. And I know a lot of that is for the inside guys. That's all. But you guys are a part of that as fans, right? Part of, you know, like Grant said, we need everybody, right? The Hawks need Grant on Saturday. they need you at home.
They don't not need me. That's for sure.
And, you know, part of being positive and staying positive on social media as much as you can and loving this team and being a fan, that is important shit. So that's what I have to say.
No, I think that's a good point. Well, I think, too, it's like being in Iowa, this is college football in general, too. It's not like, you know, the NBA or like the NFL or anything where a lot of teams, you know, you're like every team in some element has like a is like, oh, like we could win a championship at some point, you know, like even like, geez, I mean, it felt impossible for the Nuggets to win a championship for a while. And then they went and looked and did it. But college sports and college football is different too, where like if you're an Iowa football fan, like is your outright goal every year like to win the national championship? Like, no, you probably know deep in your heart that like as much as it would be cool, do I really expect Iowa to go out there and win the national championship this year now? And I think a lot of people were like, oh, expanded playoff, schedule's light, a lot of returning guys on defense. Like, there's a chance we squeeze in there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not impossible. Like, a lot of people like that are not Iowa fans. Like, Brett McMurphy, I feel like, is always dogging on Iowa. Like, preseason, he had Iowa in his playoff. And it was like, oh, shoot, like some excitement's building. So I think with the potential of the season and, like, where we're at now already, like, three losses, and it's not even Halloween yet. A lot of people are disappointed, and that makes sense. But, like, I don't know. Ultimately, like, I would be lying if I said I haven't like seen this movie before with Iowa football.
Sure.
Or it's like, we're disappointed. You know, it stinks. But then, yeah. I don't know, like, I remember, what was the record of that team that when you guys played USC? Or were you gone by then?
I was gone by then, but
they were like 9-3 too?
Yeah, I think they were 9-3 going into
people
that game.
People were furious midseason, right? But then that USC game comes around. It's like, oh, shoot, big opportunity for the Hawks. Momentum building. Like, the excitement builds back in. It's like, it's dark and gloomy a little bit right now, but ultimately I think everyone knows too, when that game versus Wisconsin comes up and there's a trophy on the line, and like ultimately when you're an Iowa football fan, like goal number one is like, we just want to win these trophy games so that when I go on Twitter, I can go in some like Badger 420-69 is yelling at me. I can just send him a photo of the scoreboard and be like, hey, look at this. What you gonna do now?
I got
like,
this for the
like
next
that is being a college football fan is that is your ultimate goal. All right.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I don't know. And like, there's still a lot of opportunity for that as well. Like, I don't think, and honestly, as much as I was like, wow, this is a disappointing game against Michigan State. And you look to it, like a lot of, like, I know Josh Pate does the power ratings every week. Like, I was still in the top 25 of his power ratings, which means like there's only 22 other teams in college football that would be favored over Iowa in a game.
On a neutral field. Yeah.
On a neutral field. I don't think any of them are on Iowa's schedule the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So like Iowa still has a lot of chances to win very important games to the program. And again, too, I do this all the time where I'm like, wow, I'm so frustrated with Iowa football after the game, tweeting out my sad Sopranos clips that I ran out of, had to go to Curb Your Enthusiasm instead. But like, I'm in on the team. All right. I made a decision a long time ago that this is, I'm going to rock with this team. I'm ride or dying with it. I'm still watching the game. All right. And I still care about beating Northwestern. All right. It's still important to me.
Exactly. Right. And a lot of people will. They just.
Now, I have some questions about Northwestern.
Okay.
Some narratives.
Okay.
Couple revenge games going on. You got a Brennan Sullivan revenge game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you got a Mr. Jacob Gill revenge game.
Huge game for Jacob Gill.
As well. Now, Cade McNamara is a starter, right?
He is. As of right now, quote unquote from KF.
What is. And here's the thing is that passing wise, like I believe I saw some stats. I think Northwestern is one of the worst pass defenses out there.
Right. Yeah.
What is like the stand? What do you need to see from K this week to be like, okay, keep your job? What do you need to see? Because you said last week, you were like, what is the benefit of this? Like if he goes out there and has 5 touchdowns this weekend or something, right? Like just a great game. Are you still of the opinion of that it should be like, okay, thank you for your time, but Sullivan, go ahead.
I am, actually. Okay. Yes. You would have to see it would not be a statistical thing that you would see this weekend that would make you keep Cade in the game, Grant. Mm-hmm. You would have to see, in my opinion, you would have to see his mechanics, his footwork, his escapability, all these sort of like intangible things, right? Mm-hmm. That when these people, everybody, the fans are looking at Cade and they're saying, he's just not doing what we need him to do. Like, there's a lot of things off here. Not just the statistical stuff, because he's had a couple okay statistical games, right?
Sure.
And I think there's a chance that if he plays this whole game on Saturday, he could have another one. The problem is we know what the average is. We know what the mean is.
Yeah, and you don't have the Men in Black brain eraser.
Right. Things always revert to the mean. So we know mm-hmm. what we're going to get at some point again from him, and probably frequently. Like, at this point, it's like you get about 2 quarters of good, 2 quarters of bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there's not a team on the end, on the schedule still that you're going to be like, you know, and maybe at this point, Nebraska got schlacked too, so they probably got hit down a button. But Wisconsin looking pretty decent. They're going to have a couple tough tests in the next few weeks to continue to play like they've had.
Wisconsin got a big test this weekend.
Yeah. But again, these are teams that you can beat sort of regardless of what mm-hmm. Brennan Sullivan's going to give you or Cade McNamara is going to give you. Right. If we run the ball well mm-hmm. and we just throw it okay.
Right.
Like either quarterback is going to do this. So again, I just think that at this point, and it goes back to that building for the future thing, Cade's not going to be here next year. Sullivan is. Kevin said it in the recap. Like there's no reps like game reps. The best practice reps are game reps. So
now I have a follow-up question for that.
Okay.
In your playing career, how many times did you see a captain get benched?
One time. And actually, it might have even been before the season, and I think his captainship was like just sort of stripped, and it was because of some off-the-field activity. Okay. Yeah. But not very often.
So I guess from my standpoint is that these guys elected Cade a captain.
Yep.
Because they clearly believed in him. And he's from a team building standpoint, a leadership standpoint. And I feel like some fraction of that has to be a playing standpoint as well, right?
Yeah.
What does it do to the morale of the team if you bench your captain for the rest of the season? Because, like, not to compare it again to, like, I don't know, people don't come here to hear the Broncos or anything, but, like, once, like, last year, once the Broncos' season hopes were completely drained. They benched Russ, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't playing great, but he was still the captain. He was still the leader. And the team performance, everything went out the window, right?
Yeah.
So, and there's a lot of different factors in that. But, like, I feel like morale-wise, benching the captain for the rest of the season could pose an issue.
I might get in trouble for making a comparison here. But
go ahead.
Do it. And I'll just preface this with, this is all assumption or just conjecture, and it could be false, but it could be true. I don't know.
And that's a fine answer.
Yeah. I don't know, but there's more. I don't know what the true opinion of like the individuals on the inside. So where I'm going with this was, Jake Rudock was a player during my time, the first few years of my time in the program.
Sure.
I believe that at one point or another in season for real games, he was voted a captain at least once or at some point. I can tell you this, 80% plus of the roster of the locker room did not view him as a captain, did not view him as a leader, saw him as a quirky guy that did not really connect with the locker room. And just, you know, we were not going to go to war for him if actual war broke out. Let's just say that. Versus CJ was a guy who could lead. I mean, that's a general of an army right there.
Sure.
So there's been captains who are just sort of, you know, they somehow or another get grandfathered into a captain role because they play a prominent position or they're the popular, you know, they're the popular player on the team for whatever reason. It's not often. I wouldn't even say it's rare. I don't know what the levels are like that in the locker room with Cade right now. I do know this. The best way to think about that is the players on the inside would be best to not focus, if it happened, on Cade being benched, but focus on the opportunity for another teammate that hopefully they like. And I
sure
KF said that they do. The opportunity and you know, the chance for Brendan to get reps, to get in the game, to be the guy. Like, they would rally around him instead of focusing the energy on the negative side of Cade being benched. So, you know, there's a way to flip that, but that is how, that's my answer there.
Okay. Yeah. Cause it's just a rare circumstance. And I do agree that, there's a lot of teams that I've seen. And again, like, if I want to compare it to the Broncos last year, like, yeah, Russ was the captain, but part of me is like, is it just cause the quarterback, the starting quarterback of a team is usually the captain.
Right.
Like, how much is it really buying? And this is making a huge assumption as well. I don't know Cade personally. I don't know I don't know anyone on the roster personally at all. So
I won't lie. You know, those captain things, we voted on them every week. And oftentimes people are just marking the same guys, especially once it's the same guys like week one, week two. Okay. Sure. Everybody just vote the same. Cause that's who they're going to be. I won't lie and say that I questioned at times if the votes were actually counted or if occasionally there was some behind the scenes rigging of the polls going, you know, it's not to get political here 10 days out from the election, but I think there might've been some rigging of the polls. And I think occasionally there were some guys that got put in as a captain for a game that were not in the top four vote getters. I don't know that for a fact. I don't have any evidence of it, but
you're saying 40 votes for Jake Rudock came in after midnight before the
somehow
game,
but... after midnight, the vote. It's crazy, dude. It's crazy what happened. So,
that's funny. I didn't know, but, I think it'll be interesting to see with Northwestern. Cause again, this is a must win. I might put this as a must dominate game. every game's a win, sure, but like I want to see a comfortable cover. Even if the game was
everybody
like
does
20-21-3, I'll take it. Like, I just want to see a comfortable win,
right?
Because that's what it should be.
It should be. You're right. You ready to make some picks?
I don't know. I'm gonna be honest. This is a
DJ Kevin.
Yeah. All I do is win. DJ Kevin, and it's like, you know, he's not even here, so we cut the music, and it's DJ Grant today. What are you not confident in this week? You're not feeling it, or what?
I don't know. I don't have like as many. Like, I don't have 14 picks.
Okay, I think I got like four.
But here's the thing: I do want to point out to people that this weekend is a great weekend of football, right, going on. But also Thursday night, great football going on. You got Syracuse Pitt. Is an incredible game going on. Two great quarterbacks playing. Eli Holstein out of Pitt, stud. And then also Friday night, UNLV Boise. You could make an argument that in terms of playoff implications, that might be the biggest game this weekend.
And it's one of my picks.
Oh, shoot. Okay. Do you want to lead us in then? But I'm just saying, like, football fans as a whole, this is your weekend to lock in. Like, if you're going to – like, this is not the pumpkin patch is out the window. All right? If you didn't get it done, it's over.
There you go.
Do not do it.
You heard it from Grant.
You got to lock in.
And I am starting in Las Vegas, but not with UNLV. It's with Boise State. I think they're playing with a real belief. By the way, Ashton Jeanty and the team got a bye week last week. They were not in action.
While we're talking Boise, did you see that they sold out the rest of their season?
It's amazing.
And I saw that too. When they were in the they were frequently, I think it was like they were constantly ranked in the top 15, from like 2009 to 2012.
Yeah.
And those teams didn't even sell out the rest of the season. So it is, they are feeling it. in Boise, Idaho right now.
And I think they're vibing on that. And this one isn't in Boise, but I'm taking Boise State -3 as we record this is what I'm getting them at. I think Genty and that squad is coming. And they are trying to make a push for the playoff legitimately. We're going to go right to the next game, another Friday night game. It's Rutgers traveling all the way across the country to play USC. Man, USC is not good, but I'm taking USC -13.5 here.
I like
against
it.
The Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Why don't you go ahead and look and tell me what time that game starts in Piscataway, New Jersey for me?
It says 10 p.m. on Friday, October 25th.
In Des Moines.
Correct. So that's going to be 11 p.m. in Piscataway? Yikes. That could be bad for the Scarlet Knights.
And that got moved back because over the summer it was 11:30.
Oh, my. Then, and we're going to go right to the first 11 o'clock game, or at least the first one that's listed on Saturday, staying in the Big Ten. Yeah. Right. It's Washington at Indiana. And this is interesting because this is this Rourke guy. What's his name?
Curtis.
Curtis.
Who
is it? O'Rourke or just Rourke?
Just Rourke. He's not Irish to my knowledge.
Okay. But he will not be playing.
He's not. And by the way, credit to us. We were on Rourke a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
With his Fighting Ohio Bobcats.
You're goddamn right.
Rufus the Bobcat.
Yeah, there. Big Rufus. We're Rufus adjacent podcast as well. Need to get a couple t-shirts for us. I think Indiana is still going to roll. I think they're also a team that's going to ride the wave that they're on in the hopes and chance and feeling that, oh, we've got a chance to be in this playoff when we didn't think we would. I'm taking them. I'm taking the favorites this week, -6.5 for Indiana.
Here's a fun thing for the basketball fans. I do believe that the backup is Trace Jackson Davis's brother.
He is. I believe you're correct. I saw something about that as well.
Which I don't know if what that means for the game.
I don't think it means anything.
But I don't think it's unimportant to know.
It means something in a 0.1 or 2%. Call me crazy. But the Longhorns, who just got beat by Georgia, made me a lot of money, by the way. I bet Georgia on the money line plus the under in that game. Both hit. Cool. Parlay. Love that. 5-1. Mm-hmm. The Texas, they go to Vanderbilt this week.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw what happened with Alabama when they went to Nashville. I think Vanderbilt covers +19.
It's a lot of points.
It's so many points.
19
dude.
Is a lot of points.
It's so many. And I think Vanderbilt has, again, this week it's an emotional pick. I'm riding that vibe, that energy.
Just 19 or 19 and a half?
It's just 19.
Okay.
So, but those are the four that I've got.
It was fake, but someone created a fake news post that Vandy was going to put a netting to protect the field.
I saw that.
It's a joke. It's, a lot of people bought it, though.
I bought it. I thought it was real.
It's temporary protective netting to stop them from trashing the field. Which, by the way, we didn't ever address that. We've seen a lot of trash in the field in college football.
Yeah.
It's never worked until this weekend.
It worked.
They just simply would not accept the results until they got what they wanted.
Like, screw it. Call reversed.
Well, now do you think you're going to see a wave of that in college football? Like,
there's a chance.
Like, I don't know, just this bad holding call or something this weekend. Just
beer bottles everywhere.
Even a bunch of buckets of cheese curds just flying.
Cheese curds and just, 28-ounce, 32-ounce pops just flying. we'll say Matthew McConaughey's on it, though. He put out a statement that he told the Texas student section they're better than that, that they don't do that at Texas.
Well, he didn't release a statement on if the Quinn Ewers controversy either. But
that's true.
I demanded one from him. He didn't.
I saw that you did, and I think he's probably still getting back to you. But we'll see. Okay. Hit me with your picks.
Okay. I think you're going to be disappointed in me.
That's okay.
I'm taking UNLV. The game of the week, Boise versus UNLV.
I kind
of
like. I like that there's blood on it. There's blood on the line.
I just look at this game. I still like my guy Haj Malik Williams. Dynamic quarterback. I don't know what his eligibility is. This is a business idea, by the way, if someone wants to make it. There needs to be a website where I can search any player in college football. It could tell me what their eligibility is remaining.
Let's see.
Any player.
We could probably code that.
I just want 1 year, and then how many games in their red shirt that year. I need that available because I don't know how many he's got. But I have a short list of dogs from the G5 that we've been talking about, and he's one of them. I like Hajime Gwillen. I'm going to take him 3.5. And also
Idea for the offseason, Grant's dogs to bring to Iowa this year.
Kirk's dogs, Trout, Grant's dogs. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Oregon is playing Illinois. 21.5 is so many points.
It's a lot of points.
And I just – look, do I think Illinois is going to beat Oregon this week? No. But I got to think Burt has a good enough of a game plan with a really good defense to cover 21.5.
There should be enough fight there.
I mean, come on. They play – like Illinois does long – they play slow. There's not – I just got to imagine they could do something. I'm going to take
– I almost took that as well. I like that pick.
But that's one of those games too. It's like, boy, is it 21 for a reason though? Is it like, oh wow, that is a lot. I like BYU. I like what's going on in their program. I like Cosmo the Cougar. But I'm taking UCF money line. I got it at 125.
Holy shit!
I don't know what it's at now. I think the line's been moving a bunch. They started as underdogs, now they're favorites. BYU has just been flirting with danger for a couple weeks now. And what I see a spunky UCF team is now favored over undefeated BYU. Just begging for you to take BYU. I'm taking UCF. Minnesota -4 against Maryland. I think Maryland struck gold last week. Congrats. Great win. But I'm going to take Maryland -4. MAC game of the week, Bowling Green +2.5, taking them versus Toledo. Bowling Green, sneaky team. I feel like they were kind of – remember when they almost beat Penn State? I feel like I forgot about that.
Yeah, we got to watch out for that Rocket. But
taking A&M -2.5 versus LSU. Like I said, do I think they're the best team in the SEC? No, but I think they're going to win this game, so I'm taking them -2.5. SMU, sneaky undefeated in ACC action as well. Another potential thing going on there where you could have Pitt, Miami, and SMU all don't play each other and could finish undefeated in ACC
because
there's no divisions. But I'm going to take them -11.5. Wisconsin +6.5 versus Penn State. Penn State has spent all week complaining that their game versus Ohio State is not going to be at night. And I feel like they forgot that they got a good Wisconsin team they got to go play this week. So I'm going to take Wisconsin +6.5 there. Washington +6.5 versus Indiana. I'm jumping in front of the train. All right. I think Washington, I've been saying all week, I think they're better than they get credit for. I don't think they're as bad as it looks out there. And I also think, too, I just think everyone is – I think the Indiana stock is so high right now. Not that it doesn't deserve to be.
But it's just a little too high.
It's going to dip at some point. I don't know. It's going to happen. So, I expect Indiana to win this game, by the way. I think they won by like 3. I think it's close. Fresno State -4.5. Hawaii +1.5 late at night. Taking late. Them. Yeah.
That kicks off at 11 p.m.
They're playing Nevada, I believe. Yep. I'm gonna go ahead and say Nevada. But I'm taking Hawaii. I like that kid Schrager, their quarterback. Every time he's heaving up, I don't know what the offensive playbook looks like for them, but I got to imagine there's at least 6 plays where just as go deep.
I like that play as well. +1 at home. The
Schrager bombs is what they call it.
Schrager bombs. That's incredible.
That one will be, I believe, on the Team One Sports app again. Make sure you got that locked and loaded. But yeah, those are my picks. Just keeping it light. How many of them do I hate this week?
Over half.
Like 4, maybe. There's a couple of them I'm really uncomfy about, like Illinois. Like, why is it 21? That's a big number. Ugh, don't like that.
I love the how many do I hate measure always comes out. That's amazing.
Well, here's the thing, too, is like it's not, the stinkiest picks are sometimes the ones that do the best. It's like that makes no sense. Why would you do that? That's exactly why it's going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's how I feel. But I'm excited for this weekend. It's good.
There is nothing, and I don't know how much other people love it. I hope a lot. But in everything that we do for this show, both on Patreon and the public, you know, what everybody gets, my favorite consistent thing is listening to you give your picks for the week.
Ooh. Wow. That's high praise.
It is entertainment to the max. I fucking love it. And I hope you guys do at home as well. A little 70-minute bomb.
You always do this where you're like, I don't know if we're going to get to an hour. And it always goes over an hour.
under promise, over deliver, my friend. We're in the content game. That's how you do it. Thank you guys for listening so much. Listen to the 5-10-5 show with Coach Justin Lima and myself. We talk a lot about the Doyle stuff, actually. We didn't plan to, and then we did. And then Iowa plays Northwestern on Saturday. We'll be back with the recap next week. Hopefully Kevin shows up, and if he doesn't, we're cutting him fucking loose. It's the Grant and Tyler show. Until then, see ya. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons, where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.